I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show, a part of our It's Your Agribusiness series, and show number 3,651. Joining us today in studio, Luke Grindle, who works the information side for South Dakota's oldest farm organization. You're not the oldest in that organization, but it's the oldest organization, correct?
It very well is. You're right.
We have some very distinguished guests today, and even a surprise guest in the show a little later on. But by phone this morning, do we have the president with us, Doug Somke?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the note that you were listening to Tax Talk. We all need to worry about that. Jeff Kipley is the new vice president for the National Farmers Union. Do you want to introduce him?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, couldn't be more proud of having Jeff as our new National Farmers Union vice president, reigning here from South Dakota and even from my region of the state up here by Aberdeen, South Dakota. Jeff's family has been an outstanding group to have not only in our organization, but in our communities. They're very strong supporters of what the community does, what it means to have good businesses in the community, what it means to have good activities and supporting their youth. And Jeff's heart is in the right place when it comes to doing the work of family farmers. I'm just telling you, he'll do great things. I can't wait to see him in action. His background, his ability to understand what's happening in agriculture and then also his business sense from the tax world is going to be very big for us. We just had a strategic plan that we worked on at National Farmers Union. Jeff was part of that, and I know he's looking forward to really digging in and taking part and leading in that aspect. So with that, I'd just like to welcome Jeff to the show and look forward to hearing from him.
Jeff, welcome to the show. You are from a five-generation-old family farm. What's the next generation for agriculture's future? What do you want it to be? And I'm sure that's one of the reasons that you're a national vice president.
Absolutely. You know, my vision is that we get back to a lot of farms out here in the countryside, getting neighbors working with neighbors. Some of that stuff, I think, has maybe fallen away the last couple decades, but I'd like to get back to it where we're all in this thing together and we don't view a neighbor as a competitor, but rather as a neighbor and as a friend.
Jeff, Luke here. Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, I really appreciate where you got up and you talked at our national convention. And, you know, you really hit a message home about our youth. You know, so many producers these days, it's hard to make it on the family farm without having, you know, some supplemental income somewhere. And that's you know, we're so busy the way it is right now. And I really appreciate just your vision for the youth of you know, working hard, making appropriate changes so we can, you know, ensure that our youth can carry on the next generation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a big passion of mine. My oldest son is going to finish up his freshman year of high school here. And so basically that gives me about an 8-year window to try to do my best to make some changes that he has the opportunity to come back to the farm. I'm not going to force him back to the farm, but if he wants to come back, I want it to be an option. Too often we see kids grow up on the farm and we lose them to major cities because there's no room for them back here in the Dakotas. And that's just too bad. We're losing our hardest workers, our brightest, our best, and they're all doing great things in cities, but that could all be great things for these rural states.
One of the things I'm hearing, Jeff, Doug, and Luke, is that we have some people that are fourth, fifth generation that may have to call it quits because they just can't make it go. And it might just not be in the west part of the state. It could be any place because of the drier situation. How do we, as friends of Farmers Union members, make a difference? What would you say, Jeff, and then Doug?
You know, I think the there's some things that we need to change in D.C. to make sure that we can continue on an even playing field. The big thing that Farmers Union's doing right now is taking on these corporate monopolies. We're having a drought right now, which is really compounding the issue. But this issue goes back to 2015, basically, where our cow-calf guy has not been able to be profitable. And every time a cow goes to town and the farm sells out, that's another community that's getting hurt. You know, the schools are getting smaller. Volunteer fire departments are getting depleted. The churches are getting smaller. None of those are good things for small communities. So we need to take on these packers, and we're doing that now. We need to get fair markets for our cattle producers. That's a big part of our state. And if we can get the cattle producers back to profitability, that can be great things for our small communities.
Doug?
Yeah, I agree with everything Jeff just said. I also think on a state level that we need to do a better job of working together amongst our organizations, our specialty commodity groups. It's come to the point where we've been eating our own. You know, I mean, if the corn price is too high, the cattle guy is not happy. If the corn price is too low, the corn guy is not happy. We got to get to an equilibrium where we all understand that we all got to be making money in this cycle. And I think that's the biggest thing. The other thing I think, Bill, we need to do a better job of helping build homes in our rural communities. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges. And we can get people to come. I mean, there's jobs in these rural communities, but we really don't have much housing. And that's one of the biggest challenges, and I think that's one thing the state can do. I know the governor addressed that to a certain degree, but I think there needs to be a finer determination that this is something that needs to happen in the small communities, and not just in the community the size of Brookings or Sioux Falls, Aberdeen. It needs to happen in the outside of the outskirts of those communities to help them grow. And that's how you're going to build those entrepreneurships. And we can do a better job of that, too. I mean, we talk about being a state that welcomes businesses. I mean, we don't have an income tax. You know, we don't have a business tax, a corporate income tax. But yet we still aren't gaining any real new businesses to the rural small communities. We are in Sioux Falls. We are in Rapid City. We are in places like Brookings and Aberdeen, but we're not getting them in those other smaller communities like Lemon, South Dakota, or Mobridge, South Dakota. Even in the Chamberlain area, we can do a better job, I think, of helping entrepreneurs in this state and help them stay home. I mean, Jeff just mentioned, about changing operations and getting the young people to stay here. And that's something that we have to do. I mean, I can tell you just from experience, my sons are in the same position several years ago with what Jeff's going to be facing. And it wasn't easy starting those new businesses, helping my sons get started. It was a heavy lift. And at the time, things weren't so good on the farm either. But we did struggle through. Perseverance is a strong thing, but we really, really, really could do a better job as a state setting up these entrepreneurs and helping them stay here in the state rather than, going into the larger communities or other states as well.
You know, Jeff, Doug, pipe in here, but, coming from my view, a 30-some-year-old guy who, fifth-generation farmer as well, I see a lot of my peers that have a lot of interest in coming back to the farm and coming back to the production agriculture, but there's just no opportunity. And I think that's where, we are so laser focused on making sure that production agriculture for family farms can be profitable to present that opportunity for our youth to come back home.
Yeah, absolutely. The desire can be the greatest desire. If you can't make money doing it, you just can't support a family there. And until we get the profitability back so that young people can see a future, we're going to continue to lose young people to bigger cities.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and part of that, of course, is, you know, having better prices like we have today. They're great, right? I mean, but a lot of it is because of inflation. A lot of it is because of world events. I guess I found it very interesting first of all, Senator Tester talked about the bill that he's bringing to help us on these topics. And I'm just going to tell you, he's one of our biggest cheerleaders out here in rural America and wanting to do the things that Jeff and I just mentioned. But also, Secretary Vilsack of USDA made some pretty profound comments as well. You know, one thing about holding the cooperative model as we pursue building these local businesses. I mean, we got to get back to that. We've all seen our cooperatives either merge with another cooperative and get bigger, or you know, basically buy out another cooperative or other business, and that still is the best model to keep rural America alive and thriving. But we also need to make sure that we're holding the market agreements. He mentioned about making China do what they promised they would do, and also Canada in the dairy industry to make sure that they do what they said they were going to do. So, you know, we need to make sure that our administration is doing that their job as well, because it's one thing to pass these type of agreements, but it's another thing to hold them accountable to it. So I guess I was really pleased with the remarks that I heard. I was really pleased to hear the information that Vilsack shared with us about the amount of money going into our communities, our rural communities, as far as building, you know, smaller plants and updating smaller plants of packing plants. So that was all good as well. And it's something that I hope it's in South Dakota that we find ways to, you know, utilize some of those funds.
When we come back, we're going to bring in Rob LaRue, National Farmer Union President. I think that Rob LaRue might be a Hank Williams fan. Is that true?
Fair enough. Very much.
Well, you're joining quite the circus this morning. Did you bring your popcorn, your peanuts?
I'm ready to play. Let's do it.
What do you want to say about your new vice president?
Well, I tell you, Farmers Union is really lucky to have a new strong leadership here joining us. Jeff Kipley, as our new vice president at the national level, is really going to allow us to kind of, you know, really continue to grow on many of the issues that Farmers Union has been so strong about, whether it's biofuels, fairness for farmers, fighting, you know, really the monopolies in agriculture. We have a lot of challenges out there. We have a farm bill on the horizon, and we're really thrilled to have Jeff on board.
So, Doug, what would you say about these two guys, Rob and Jeff? What kind of a team will they make?
Oh, I think they're going to make an awesome team. I mean, Rob's understanding, you know, of the administration and his connections there, and also up on the Hill. I think he'll be a great asset to take Jeff in to share Jeff's understanding and workings of the agriculture for family farms. They'll just be a great team, and plus Jeff's background in the tax world and his relationship with his clients. I mean, the stories he can share about the challenges. This isn't just a one trick rodeo here. This is going to be a great team. I'm looking forward to what we can accomplish, and especially, again, like I said, about our strategic plan that our board came up with. We set some very high goals, and I think both of these guys are up to the challenge to get there.
All right, Rob, if you will, what kind of duties do you want for your new National Farmers Union vice president? Now listen up, Jeff.
I'm taking the
Well, I tell you, Jeff and I will make a really good team, and we'll be sorting through some of those details coming up here over the next couple of weeks. But I think Doug really kind of hit on it, and that is, you know, Jeff brings with him a really unique set of skills, not only kind of his accounting background and the work that he does there with so many other farmers in the area, but his own kind of farming experience and the challenges that brings. This will all be leveraged, quite frankly, for the benefit of family farmers and ranchers across the country. And, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, being able to get him going here. He's definitely one of these guys that will be able to hit the ground running because they've already been living and breathing all of this. And we just need to point him in the right direction.
Now, I got to tell you, Rob, you're taking him away from tax time. I mean, we are only 5-6 weeks away, and he is out there, and he is going to be helping others. So, you know, you got to have a little patience with him. You know, if his mind are kind of on the calls into his office, you know, Jeff, it's not a good time for you to be taking this job.
You know, if you're going to wait for the perfect time to do something, you'll never do it, right? And so I guess that's kind of my mindset. It's all about how you prioritize your time. It's going to take some reprioritizing to get it done, but this is too important to not put as the top priority.
Doug, you know both of these guys. How good a team are they going to make?
Like I said, they're going to be an awesome team. They both have foresight. They both have history on the farm. I'm really looking forward to how we work forward here with their two extremely good working understanding of agriculture. I think Jeff is going to be a quick learner under Rob, and Rob also understands the challenges that we face in agriculture, and we got some big shoulders to stand on. I mean, we got some families that have been around for 4 or 5 generations, like you said, Bill. But we're in the grips of losing them, and we just can't lose anymore. We got to do like Jeff said. We've got to be able to build and get more farmers out here. These young people want to be on the farm, and a lot of them don't have any connection to the farm right now, but they understand the importance of it, right? I mean, we got a lot of work to do here. We got a lot of mouths to feed, and a great country to stand up for. And this organization is built to do that. I mean, the passion that's in South Dakota and National Farmers Union is next to none. I'm just telling you. But we're willing to work with other organizations too. And I think that's the other thing that both these gentlemen bring to the table is the ability to not just do the selfish thing, but also do the right thing.
He's Doug Somke, South Dakota Farmers Union president. Rob LaRue is a National Farmers Union president. And Jeff Kipley's a new kid on the block. He is the new VP for the National Farmers Union. So as we talk about this, I don't know who put these notes together, but with three guys that are presidents or vice presidents, I just have to ask. One of the jump balls was fairness for farmers. Who wants to talk about that first?
Well, let me kick off there, if you don't mind, because this is an issue that we've been working on for a long time, for many, many years, but has gotten a lot of attention here during the pandemic. But it's something that independent ranchers out there, farmers have known for a long time, and that is the fact that you have so few players, whether we're talking about the cattle markets or whether we're talking about input dealers out there. That adds a lot of cost. You get price manipulation in the marketplace. And really what Farmers Union is doing now is lifting all those stories up that farmers have been experiencing for a long time and trying to get some real action. We're thrilled that we're getting a little bit of traction right now. Folks are beginning to see this for themselves. We're educating a lot of folks. But it's telling, Doug's story, Jeff's stories, their neighbors' stories, out there, and we hope that this will be the beginning of some changes that we are long overdue.
Who's throwing this nationwide campaign highlighting the unjust difference between ag and family farmers and ranchers?
Well, Bill, that's the Fairness for Farmers campaign. I mean, that's what Farmers Union is doing across the nation. You know, just highlighting how unfair, I guess you could say, when it comes to price and profitability that these farmers, are dealt with day to day, and it all comes back to making sure that the family farm is sustainable going forward.
Who else wants to jump in?
Bill, I want to go back to something that that Rob mentioned, the pandemic exposed a lot of the problems that we have, the short time span between when something is processed and when it is reaching the retail market. And, you know, President Biden, he recognizes this. He even created an executive order, competition in the American economy, right? So, you know, we got to make sure that we implement those goals and plans that he set forward. And so we need Congress to step up. And that's something that Senator Tester mentioned, you know, the bills that he's introducing, you know, to carry forward. You know, and one of them is we also need reimburse the enforcement of the Stockton and Packers Act. I mean, we need a special investigator to implement those laws. I mean, we've already got the laws in the books, right? I mean, it's been there, you know, for many, many years. We just need to implement them. We need someone to do the heavy lifting and make it happen and, you know, and hold these multinational corporations accountable for the things that they are doing and the laws that they are breaking. And that's what this whole fairness to farmers thing brings forward. It also brings a lot of other things, for instance, the right to repair. I mean, that's something we should talk about it later on here, too. I mean, I'm really pleased with the ground that we're forging here with South Dakota National Farmers Union on this freedom, fairness for farmers. It's a big topic. It's a topic that the media is grabbing onto. It's a topic that the consumer gets because of the high prices that they're facing today. And that's where we're going next, right, Rob? I mean, we're going to make sure that those people are on our side as well.
That's right. So farmers and ranchers have known for a long time that they've really, in many of these markets, it's stacked against them. And so we're trying to take that message next to consumers, because as they look at high prices out there, sure, there are lots of factors there, but we know that a big reason why these prices are going up is because of the multinational corporations out there and the fact that they're taking advantage of the market situation right now to raise those prices. And that's not fair, ultimately, for family farmers and ranchers, but also not fair for consumers. And we certainly plan to step up and make sure that folks understand that.
Rob, you and I have both talked about Zippy Duval, what he does for the National Farm Bureau, the American Farm Bureau. And I have talked a little bit to Jeff about the fact that he is in the same boat with the South Dakota Farm Bureau's Scott Vanderwall. We have two vice presidents in the state. Jeff, that's a pretty important thing. Can we pull together?
You know, I think if we focus where we're seeing eye to eye, we can get a lot done. That's the key thing we have to look at, is that we're probably going to agree on 90% of things that we're talking about. And that's where we got to try to work together and not necessarily care who gets the credit. As soon as people try to take credit for things, that's when things fall apart. So I think we just got to work together where we can. And you know, going back to the fairness to farmer deal, I think they hit it right on the head when they talked about consumers. There's plenty of money in this whole food system right now that consumers are playing to give them a lower rate and for farmers to make a profitable living. Right now, it's just all being sucked up by those multinationals, and we just need to get that changed.
Gentlemen, we appreciate having you all on. I think, Rob, you were going to stay with us for 10 minutes. You stayed 12. So we got more out of you than I thought I would get this morning. But
I appreciate the time, Bill, because I'm really excited about having Jeff on board here. I've known a number of these characters from Brown County, and they're all winners. And so we're really excited about being able to hit the ground running and keep fighting the fight. So glad to join you, Bill. Thanks so much for your time.
You betcha. Glad to do it. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit from Pierre, other things, and a surprise guest makes an appearance. I'm Bill Zortman with Luke Rendell in our Kello AM studios in downtown Sioux Falls. Joining us as well, South Dakota Farmers Union President Doug Somke, and National Farmers Union Vice President from South Dakota, here Brown County, Jeff Kipley. We enjoyed having Rob LaRue, the National Farmers Union President, on. Jeff, how do you envision your work with a national president?
You know, I think I'm going to work well with Rob. That guy is up to speed on all the issues. He knows his way around D.C. Those are probably two. Well, the knowing my way around D.C. is probably my biggest weakness. So that's going to be a great compliment to one another. And I just have the most respect for Rob, and I think it's going to be a good relationship.
Doug, your thoughts on what is in the best interest of the members in South North Dakota and neighboring states?
Yeah, I think Jeff mentioned it quite well. I mean, I think when he gets out there and understands what the staff is, each one is specifically working on, I think Jeff's going to come up with an idea what is you know, his area that he can help each one of them. I think, you know, when Jeff gets there, he's going to realize, you know, first of all, the work that our staff does do for us. I mean, we just can't comprehend all that they do, you know, for the national organization. And I also think that he's also going to be able to realize that his assets of his family life will be important to share, because, you know, there's a big difference between those people that live on the East Coast and actually even farm over on the East Coast compared to what we do here in the Midwest. You know, the strength of our organization still comes from the breadbasket of our country, and Jeff's going to do a good job conveying that to them to help them understand, you know, the position that we come from. There's been a big shift of growing in farming country on the East and West Coast of, you know, more direct local marketing. And that works good for, you know, many places that have metropolitan areas close to them. But it doesn't work so good in states like South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, because we don't have that type of opportunity to present a local product. And also, you know, we don't have the economy that they do. Several people on those areas can you know, afford the more direct marketing prices that support those type of agriculture. But, you know, ours is more about feeding everybody. And that's something that we all got to be, you know, just be realist about, you know, that not everybody can afford to buy organic food. Not everybody can afford to buy directly from the farmer. You know, I think Jeff's going to do a good job describing that. And again, you know, with his tax background, it's going to be a big plus that everybody will understand. But his passion still, you know, to make sure that the average family farmer will continue to go on and to grow and to, you know, get people like his son into their own farm when they become of age. So that's all important, and I'm you know, he's the right man to do it. I just know he is, and I'm so glad that he stepped up to take this role.
All right, Doug and Jeff, you got 3 minutes to talk about biofuels versus the electric vehicles that you talked about at the National Farmers Union. If we're going to keep everybody on schedule, you got to stay to 3 minutes. Jeff, you're going to hear that an awful lot. You got to stay on time.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I guess my big thing is, the biofuels is here now. The electric vehicles, we can build them. They're building them. They're getting them sold. But the infrastructure isn't there. Right now, if you tried to drive from Sioux Falls to Rapid City and back, good luck trying to get it charged up on the way. And that's right down the interstate. Now, you get up in our part of the world, and I can't tell you where the closest charging station is. The ethanol is here. It's available. We can throw it in our vehicles right now. It's going to be a cleaner fuel for the environment. You know, I think there's room for both, but the here and now is truly ethanol, and we need to jump on it.
Yeah, I agree with what Jeff just said. I think he's dead on. I compare it to the U.S. Postal Service, right? I mean, when the internet came on board and Wi-Fi, you know, we had all the electrical communications. We thought that the Postal Service was going to go away. It's never going to go away because there's going to be areas that just need that type of service. And that's going to be how it'll be for combustible engines as well. It's going to be around forever. We'll embrace electric cars where they can be used. But the fact of the matter is, like Jeff just said, we can turn the wrench today on any vehicle that we have out here and be able, and make it usable of E30, at least to that level. And so anyone that's really concerned about, you know, the health of their family and the health of the environment, if you want to change it today and not wait till 2050, get on board with using higher blends of ethanol. And not only that, today you're going to save over 65 cents a gallon up here in Brown County, South Dakota, between the non-leaded gasoline and E30. And if you go to premium gasoline with its equal to octane, you're going to save almost $1.50. So, you know, if you're looking for those type of values and you're looking for saving the world today, you got to jump on board with the use of the ethanol and level of E30.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk with Mitch Richter. Legislative session. It's busy. We're going to find out what they're doing, with all that money. Don't bury it in a mattress. South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Mitch Richter isn't here. I've talked to Kent Peterson every day this week, except for today, and we'll talk again tomorrow and Friday. So are they going to figure out how to spend all the money, Rich? Mitch?
Well, they've got 2.5 days, and I think they're going to get it done, but there's some big hurdles to overcome at this point. The housing that you guys talked about, I think, earlier today, rural development and housing, $200 million. They can't quite figure out how to get everybody on the same page for that. 70% of that money would go to rural South Dakota, and I just think that that's a win-win for everybody. Some of the Sioux Falls and Rapid City legislators are holding out for more money for their communities. But at the end of the day, I think rural development will happen in rural South Dakota with some of that housing money. So that's one of the big things. The other issues are women's prison, $38 million in Rapid City. They haven't quite come to an agreement on that yet. Certainly we need to expand the number of cells that we have available for women. The other issue is the gun range in Western South Dakota. That's been up and down and around all session. I don't know where they're going to come out on that. It started out at 5 million. It's down to 2.5 million. So those are some of the big things that we have to get done here in the next couple of days.
So, Doug, any questions that you have for Mitch?
No, Mitch and I shared text this morning. I guess, you know, the thing, you know, there's a lot of rumors that get flying around this time of year when
Bill, I can't hear
dollars start getting crunchy. And so, you know, making sure that you're informed before you start talking about it is the biggest thing, Bill. And that's why having Mitch out there is so important, to make sure that, you know, we are talking about the correct information rather than just spreading, hearsay and rumors.
No,
Doug,
question.
Yeah, I don't think we can fix that at this point. But,
okay.
Doug, it's a good thing you talked with Mitch earlier this morning because he couldn't hear you. So if he doesn't respond to what you ask him to do, he couldn't hear you. He just told 60,000 people that he couldn't hear you. So anyway, we appreciate that. From your side, Jeff, what do you think on the session? What needs done?
You know, I think Mitchell's kind of on top of it, and he hit the points there. You know, this housing thing is a huge issue that Doug talked about earlier. I can't tell you how many clients that I've visited with that they want to hire people to come help them on their farms, but they have nowhere for them to live. Talking about moving in trailer houses onto their farm and different things like that, which is fine, but it's not the long-term answer. We need to get some housing built in these rural communities.
So would you agree with that, Mitch?
Well, I only heard a little bit of what he said, but, you know, it's important that we continue to do workforce development in South Dakota. I think he was talking about needing
yes.
more help. And that is one of the things the legislature is working on. Number one, trying to keep people to stay in South Dakota. And then once you come here, making sure you're trained to handle the jobs that are available. Our four tech universities do a great job of doing training for all kinds of rural type jobs, whether it's a diesel mechanic, nursing, skilled nursing, those types of things that we need in rural South Dakota. The legislature has done a great job of funding our four tech universities, and there's a lot of ag programs in all four of those universities that are beneficial to South Dakota.
Mitch, we appreciate taking you away for 3 minutes. Get back, tell Kent Peterson everything's okay in the southern part of the state. He just needs to keep spending the money, get it done, and get the session closed.
We'll do it.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Okay, we've been promising a guest. Where is our vice president-elect, Jeff Kipley? Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Your Uncle Dan has joined us in studio this morning. Do you remember Dan Kipley?
I think I met him once or twice.
He wanted to congratulate you. He works with a lot of different organizations down here, and I think Dan speaks for the family, how proud everybody is.
Yes, indeed, Bill. Thanks. And Jeff, congratulations from the whole Kipley crew. As you well know, we've been supporting you all the way through this, and we know you're going to do an excellent job representing the Farmers Union.
Well, I appreciate that, Dan.
And the one thing, I guess, what I will instill as far as to all the listeners there is that the Kipley trademark, as far as growing up on the family farm, Jeff would be a fourth or fifth generation. But the one thing that his father and mother instilled in him is the work ethic, and that comes from Jeff's grandparents as well. I've come from a family of eight boys, and my dad had labor on the farm the entire time he farmed, so his dad took that work ethic and started his cow-calf operation in Aberdeen, and now Jeff has taken over, so he's making us all very proud.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it.
Now, was he the guy you told me not to have on the air? No.
Well, our family joke always is if somebody asks you if you know another Kipley, you always ask first why.
Well, he was a friend of mine, been a friend for a long time. We've talked a lot of very important topics in this part of the world, and when I suggested that he come on for a couple of minutes, he said, what time do I need to be there? So he wanted to be here. He's going to have to pay me off in a couple of drinks, but things will be okay.
Well, perfect. I do appreciate that. Thanks so much.
And the one thing, Jeff, is you talked about balance, and I know that you're going to be burning the midnight oil through the next 6 weeks to get through tax season, and then right behind tax season is calving season. So you go from one season to the next.
That we do. That we do. It never stops.
Dan Kipley, appreciate you. We got to get the weather person on, then we got to get these the president and the vice president off, and I don't know how we're going to do that in time, but we'll try. Laura Edwards is our South Dakota State climatologist. Weather's still an important ingredient. Where are we at, Laura?
Yeah, we're just ending a kind of a warm period here. We're looking at some winter-like temperatures for Thursday and Friday, but we're going to bounce back real quick and see 50s again by the weekend or end of the weekend. So our roller coaster of temperatures continues, I think, here in the month of March.
You know, our friends in Iowa just went through an E4 tornado, and we usually see those a little closer to Easter. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting close to when we change the clock this weekend.
Yeah, that's right, and certainly, you know, our sympathies are with those who lost family members and friends in the tornado the other day. But I think it's one of the farthest north, earliest instances of EF4 rated tornado. So really quite unusual. And if you remember, it wasn't that long ago in December, we had tornadoes also nearby in Iowa. So we've had a lot of really unseasonable severe weather this winter.
So we're in March now. People want to get to the fields, and I think some of them are already there, but they may be a little early.
Yeah, I think we're still a little on the cold side yet, and I've heard some people start to get anxious about pre-emerge weeds and those kinds of things, pre-plant treatments. Soil's still pretty cold, and without the snow cover, it's really responding quickly to air temperature swings, either warm and cold. So I would recommend maybe waiting for those soil temperatures to stabilize a little bit before you get too excited out there. But I know it's dry, and people get excited when there's no snow cover to deal with. And we got a little time yet, though. We're still just in the first week of March.
Laura Edwards, South Dakota State climatologist. She is a good one. We appreciate you taking your time with us today.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Doug Somke, Jeff Kepley, we've got a couple of minutes left in the show. Doug, what would you like to bring up?
Well, I was at a bull sale yesterday, Bill, and I ran into a lot of people that had concerns about what's happening in the legislature, and mostly about the lack of effort on the Medicare portion of it. You know, we're losing a lot of nursing homes in the rural communities. We're losing hospitals in the rural communities, and that was their biggest concern, of how much further they got to travel now to go see their relatives or neighbors that, you know, end up in these facilities. And we got to stop that. We just have to do that, and that's why Farmers Union is a member of the big coalition to get this on the ballot in this November. But it's unfortunate the legislators were unable to come forward with something that they could agree on. There's a couple bills, but they didn't get them passed. And that is unfortunate. Again, that's a major concern. That wasn't just one or two people. I mean, that was a lot of people brought that up to me yesterday. So we got to keep that on the forefront.
Jeff Kepley, you're going to find when the president speaks, you get about half the time. That's about what you've got. 30 seconds. What would you tell us about the position, farmers in South Dakota?
You know, I guess I'm real excited about getting out to D.C. and meeting with the staff and just working with them and seeing who does what and where I can fit in and add my part. So I'm really excited about the opportunity and looking forward to it.
And, Luke, your thoughts? Quite the show today, quite the ensemble of people coming together.
Great show, and I'm so proud of our organization coming from the National Farmers Union Convention. South Dakota represented well. Proud of them.
Thanks to each of you. I truly respect our farm organizations and businesses in South Dakota and, yes, in neighboring states. We are all in this together. I'm Bill Zortman, and thanks for being with us for our South Dakota Farmers Union show. For the thousands of Farmers Union members and their families, our time's up. Thank you for joining.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at Kello.